Imagine, if you will, six lucky passengers waiting in Guayaquil for the nature cruise of the century. Not unlike Gilligan, our seafaring friends were about to begin again when the nature cruise finds its end. Who needs opposable thumbs? Who says you need hands to win? According to Mr. Vonnegut, the future's all flippers and fins. A tale told by a ghost who used to talk in his sleep. He wouldn't ever write Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Leon Trout, the headless narrator, sails the seas with our hapless sailors for 2 million years. Just because he's curious, who needs opposable thumbs? Who says you need hands to win? According to Mr. Vonnegut, the futures of flippers and fins. Welcome to the future. I hope you like fish.
Hi, this is Swan Drishti.
And Nessa Lozano.
And you're listening to Ink and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn. And let's do quick introductions. We have so many people in the studio today, and I'm crazy excited because this is a legitimate party. So let's start with Jesse, who just sang. Jesse Kilgus, accompanied by John Kengla. And you are a musician, songwriter, and longtime participant in the Bushwick Book Club.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a couple of years now, since 2014.
Perfect. Next chair over is John, but he's going to be a quiet mouse, I guess. And then Sashko Danilenko?
Yes, correct.
Yay! Thanks for the patience and the validation. You are a filmmaker. You have a wonderful introduction. You're from independent filmmaker from Ukraine. You join folk, contemporary nature, and elements of digital media in your work creating magical worlds with colorful characters and extraordinary allegories.
And thank you, yes. I hope it's true.
it says right there, so I think it is. And then also joining us is another filmmaker, Lisa Barnstone. Are you also a sculptor?
Yes, I am.
And then anything else that you want to claim that you do?
I really believe in Susan Huang.
Yeah.
The Shuang.
What? Can we, just a little bit of orchestration, can we slide people closer to mics? Is that possible? I know it's...
Yeah, you gotta be closer. Yeah.
Can you hear that gleeking noise that you hear with, like, HD?
Gleeking?
You know, like when people...
Spit
voices that people hear on modern radio.
I haven't had anyone have a really big problem with that. Okay. So, and I'll do a gentle edit. So
I'm not
going
to talk that much, though.
We want to talk. Also, Charlie Nealand is back and better than ever.
And better than ever!
Wait, are you saying he's
improved.
New and improved? Are you still a musician, producer, writer, engineer, and longtime participant in the
last
BBC?
Time I checked, yes.
Yeah, all that is still good?
I am.
Cool.
But he's all that with a new song, and that's what's...
Yeah, which we're privileged to see.
Ever.
Yeah. And finally, and the great Susan Huang.
Huang.
I'm terrible at names.
You could just call me Schwang.
Schwang?
No.
or Susie. Yeah, so welcome everybody. Everybody's friends now. We're all safe here.
And finally. If we're not, I have vodka.
Great, so paper and pens. I love starting out with spontaneous creativity. So this is a practice. It's basically a free write rooted in a poem. I'll read a poem. You find the line that's standing out to you. Use that as a starting spot to write, and we'll write for 3 minutes. Since there's so many people, we'll keep it short. If nothing's standing out to you in the poem, you can write against the prompt, just like whatever you want. I'll open up an invitation to share what you wrote, but not an obligation. Fair enough? Ready? Great. Poem today is Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You guys know? Great. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me of your despair, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. So again, finding the line that's popping out, and writing with that. If you get stuck revisiting that first line. Seconds finding that line, that last thought. Wrapping up the last few words, finding that period or question mark or exclamation point or I don't know. The ellipses?
Ellipses.
The ellipses, yeah. Does anyone want to share first? Who's going to be teacher's pet? No one?
You should, because you wrote so much, Charlie.
I didn't write so much. I have, like... I will start.
Thank you.
And that's, I'm being like you.
Yeah.
Every day, my desert and rain and pebbles, alive in all the weather, with rain and snow and moonlight, visiting the warm fur and feathers flying every night. Birds are so lucky, and so am I.
Oh, thank you. Anyone else willing to share?
All right, I'll share.
Yay, thanks, Susan.
The first couple lines really struck me, because right away she was saying, you don't have to be good. And I was like, that's my line! Yeah. I don't have to be good, thank God.
And by the way, I quote that all the time to people. I'm like, by the way, give yourself permission to
suck.
To be the worst, and then you're not.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're not the worst because, you know, you'll have a new song. You just give yourself permission to write a song and let it be the worst one in the whole world.
Yeah.
Who cares? I don't have to be good, thank God. I had this dream, this exact dream. That was the message that I want to feel again, as close on my skin, as obvious as the sun on my face, as obvious as salmon. Fish! We were catching fish! And you can dive down, or you can set bait, and the fish find you, even if you think you make yourself hard to get. The fish are wanting in, close on my skin. Judgment must be fish repellent, but they can only stay away so long, because you want them, and you're here to get what you want. Funny, I didn't equate this loving with geese at all, but there was loving, and sometimes it leads you down into water, which is also nice.
Yeah, the fish birds, who knows? Yay!
Anyone?
Oh, thanks. It's a lot of pressure. Anyone else interested in sharing what they wrote? I'll share. Mine's very short. Over and over, announcing your place in the order of things. There are consistent reminders of who I am and where I'm going and what I value. Amidst the interruptions and distractions, there are golden threads connecting me back to the core of it all. Okay, last time opening it up. Cool. Thanks for doing that with me. And let's talk about catching the big fish. So for introductions, you're listening to Ink and Worm. And this is a special edition Bushwick Book Club. And we all just were at a show last Thursday.
It was Thursday.
Gosh, yeah.
Every day is like 3 days.
Yeah. And the platform is basically, instead of getting together and talking about a book, we get together and offer a thing, a song, or a film, or in my case, a dance that was inspired by a book. And this month's book was Catching the Big Fish by David Lynch, about meditation, consciousness, and creativity. So let's talk about the projects that you guys presented. That wasn't the song you wrote for this Bushwick Book Club.
No, that was for Kurt Vonnegut's Galapagos.
That was really beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
And then Sashko and Lisa, you guys both did films, and then Charlie and Susan did a lot of things. You guys were like in every act, but everything was great. But you had your own pieces too. So let's talk a little bit about the process. I'm hoping we all read or listened to the book, right? Yeah. And you meditate. Are you guys meditators? I mean, no pressure if you're not, but I'm curious if this like inspired you or...
You're not meditators? Get out!
I think you guys need to leave now.
When I first read that book, when it first came out, it inspired me to practice transcendental meditation, which the book talks about.
Do you want to talk directly?
Yeah.
There we are. Hi, I can hear you.
Turn it towards you so that you're comfortable. I've switched meditation techniques since then.
To Vipassana, which is more...
mantra-less.
Yeah. Sitting and letting things arise and then go, and just like accepting what's
focusing
happening
on the breath.
Cool. So I also read the book a couple years ago when I was interested in meditation, and I'm not consistent, but I do occasionally meditate. So for whatever that's worth, like it's like self-compassion for all the days that I don't, and then sometimes I do. So that's nice. And then we all read the book. And we're all probably just as like citizens of the world exposed to and influenced by David Lynch. And I feel like that went into a lot of people's process, not like solely the book, but also just, you know, that relationship. So let's talk a little bit about the process after that. Anyone want to talk about? So we got the book assignment, so to speak. Then what happened? So curious.
I really like the chapter where he talked about meeting Fellini when he was a young filmmaker. And he got an introduction. David Lynch wasn't famous yet. And he got to meet Fellini, who was dying in a hospital. And I took that to write my song about because I thought that was kind of a cool episode.
You know what? Lisa also has a story about Fellini.
That's too long. I wasn't going to.
Okay, no, then I'll tell the
I'm
short.
I'm just saying this totally.
I will tell the short version. Lisa met David Lynch and Isabella Rossellini. She was introduced to them at a film screening for one of their films. At the time, they were married, and at the time, Fellini was dying. She met them through people who worked for Fellini around that time, right? And long story short, Isabella Rossellini held her hand during the whole screening and the after party and stroked it and asked her about termites and asked her all kinds of strange questions.
Wow.
What happened was Lisa looked exactly like a friend that her best friend from childhood who had died when she was 9.
I was 24. I was 24 at the time or something, and I had gone to this woman's house for whatever, for Christmas, and for some reason she was obsessed with me, and she was Fellini's assistant in Italy, and this was in Maryland or something, and she lives in New York, so we came back to New York, and she just invited me to go to this screening, and I went with her sister, Ingrid Rossellini, her twin sister, and sat there, and I didn't know why they were all looking at me. Everybody was looking at me. I'm thinking, she's like, oh, I know you're a sculptor. Can you help me with this in our house? Like, me and David have his house, and I didn't know what it was, and it was months later that I found out that they were all flipped out because I looked exactly like her best friend that died. It was
strange.
But I was just wondering why you'd said that, because I was wondering, it probably was around that same time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It would make sense if it was.
I mean, I don't know. Like, when did Fellini
die? And your piece was beautiful, a series of really, I'm trying to think of a word, but just like almost ethereal but magical pictures. In sequence, was that yours?
It's like stop motion animated. It's like an animated thing. And I think that the one thing that I have to tell you that I have in common from listening to him read the book, was that his process, his being artist, is almost exactly like me, like a filmmaker. I started as a sculptor, became a filmmaker, and a lot of listening to him telling his story on how he does what he does is just so similar. So although I visually didn't come up with an image directly from the book, like somebody could with words or music.
But you experienced this process.
Yeah, I'm like, this film that I didn't finish, which I finished for this, just, to me, just breathed everything that he was saying in the book. So that's why I showed it. I finished it for that, so it was like really cool.
I mean, as an audience, I felt like it was completely appropriate.
And so did I, right?
So, yeah, like, so inspired by the beauty and the came prepared.
I'm going to watch you and I'll have some.
Sashka, how about you? Because you also had your piece was very short, but also the work that went into it was pretty involved. Tell us about your process, and I'll post the videos.
It was my first experience to participate in Bushwick Book Club. Thank you, Susan, to invite me, and it was nice mixing with my regular work. Now it's a kind of really nice procrastination to make this film, and it was a challenge to me. What can I do in 5 days? Yeah, so that's why I prefer to draw.
Wait, you did that in 5 days?
Yes.
What?
That's amazing.
But it means 5 full days.
So I read
a book. I'm always reading a book and make some sketches in the same time. So
yeah, I noticed you sketched instead of wrote during our free.
I noticed that. I did the same thing. It's really normal.
Yeah, I did a picture of double-sided fish and dancing shrimp and fish log and some special tool which can help you understand if fish drink water under the water or not. So in my film, I use a pencil like idea because it's sounds similar symbol as a lamp, for example. Usually lamp means idea, usually in animation especially. So I use a pencil, and I did it because David Lynch had experience in art school, and I was really impressed by a chapter when he met father of his friends who was artist and. Artist,
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was like, wait, that's what he like.
Yes.
That's what he does
and
for a living?
Mm-hmm. And
that's
it's
possible?
Nice crossroad in your life when you understand you can do just art instead of regular job. And it's really important for a guy from a small city as David Lynch was. So I forget what I'm about to say.
I love
to draw in a sky like in Japanese style, but in this film I understand it looks like a wood when you sharp your pencil, and this wood looks like the sky. So it means when you sharp your idea, you have the same wood around you.
I like that. I like that a lot.
You need to trust me. I can sing. I can show you now my film, but you can trust me and believe me.
I trust you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a specialty
cucumber infused vodka with mint.
Oh,
and
it's really great.
Seltzer
Thank
water.
You need to trust me.
If you
I trust you.
Susan will share the recipe with everyone if you need to make this at home listening for your Sunday
this
afternoon.
This is what's so great about Susan. Stuff like this.
So Susan,
this is so schwang. This kind of thing. It with is. The little thing, the container, the
schwang.
Whole bit. It's like Susie Huang.
She's got her sweat on 6 months.
I love that you came with like lime so that you can properly make this.
Like they're all garnished.
Yeah, I'm like
everything, every last little detail.
Yeah, it feels like we have like a bartender right now. I'm like, well, we do, but
she's
it
a bar witch.
She's a bar witch.
Wench.
No, that's a thing. I'm just naive and sometimes hard of hearing. So Susan, you've done a couple of Bushwick book club shows, just a couple. Will you share your process with this project?
Because I usually read the book and then I panic and then I start writing a song.
Kind of, but I do. I get kind of agitated before the songs come out, you know, and I equate it to kind of like birth pangs, you know, because I'm just like, you know, I knew the thing that's got to come out. I just don't know how. And some, it's not always really comfortable. And you go in this position. It's like, no, what helps? Do I breathe? Do I meditate? You know, do I sleep more? Do I, do I sleep less? You know, am I, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Charlie doesn't sleep. That's his secret.
Yeah.
He shared it with us.
But I realize that's why I can't have a boyfriend. It's because I'm always writing a song every month for a show. I'm just going to turn into a complete, you know,
every
unpleasant
instead
weirdo.
Instead of PMS,
and that one,
you have the book.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't, you know, like do normal girl things and stuff, you know. And
that's why it's going to be somebody that cooks you yummy things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is trying to get me someone who can really cook.
I have a lot of gratitude for you immediately going to that. Like, it was uncomfortable because for me, I like had this vision and then all of a sudden there was so much resistance of like, I don't want to do that. No, that's stupid. I don't want to do that. And like, I ended up doing it and it was fine. But did you guys experience any resistance in your process?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I had a whole crisis about my song like 48 hours before the show.
I actually find that the participating in the book club helps me relax about writing songs in general, writing songs outside of book club too.
Yeah,
because there's really, I mean, everybody who participates in the book club is great, but there's not a ton of pressure to have this perfect finished product.
Yeah. Right. And also after
and everyone's
done it for so
nice.
Many,
yeah.
It
was so inspiring.
After having done it for so many times, like even if I do run into resistance or even if I do end up panicking or whatever, I also, in the back of my head, know the song is there. It's always there.
Yeah.
It's always there, you know? You find your way to the song. You may like certain ones more easily than others, you know? And some of them you write and you hate them at first and you find you love them later and you do other things with them. But the song is there.
Always
so that's
there.
Always good. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kingla, you want
a
drink?
For me, I found out, as I listened to it as well because I had read it years ago and
it's
I really
so listenable.
It's so listenable.
Yeah, it's
so
not
it,
his voice
to talk. If you
it's
feel
really
like continuing
voice,
to dive deep, you can get the audiobook and re-experience David Lynch. So for me, there's some things that stood out. Was that part of your process as well? Of like what did you grab onto from the book? For you, it was kind of more the process. Susan, you had
oftentimes if something doesn't jump out at me right away, like I finished the book and I enjoyed it so much, I would crawl into bed and sleep with it, you know, fall asleep reading it, and it was very comforting. I said, David Lynch is my art dad. And he always gave me these, you know, comforting words every night. And then I enjoyed the whole thing, and then I couldn't remember, you know, like nothing, you know, in particular stood out. There were a lot of different things. So
I just used my pendulum. I used my pendulum to decide. My pendulum pointed to the chapter. And I was like, okay, I'll write in that chapter. I was like, okay, pendulum, which chapter, you know,
Wasn't it like the song one or something?
And it was like, oh, and it pointed to ideas. Oh. And so I read the page on ideas. And then I wrote about ideas. And I started there, and then I gleaned a little bit from other parts of the book. But.
I feel like your mic isn't working awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's like nobody else has headphones because there's so many people, but it's cutting in and out. I'm not quite sure what's happening. But so basically, you used the pendulum and found your route in the ideas
in page, chapter.
Nice. Yeah. I love that. It's almost like the bleak strategy cards. Have you guys heard of those?
Brian
Eno is just like, throw everything away, and he would. He'd be like, okay, all gone. Start over. What?
Sorry, I'm making all this.
So you talked about how you read the book and sketched Sashiko, but was there like a chapter or like a part of the book that you were really inspired by?
Maybe first page. It's just like
first page was really good.
It was a great page.
And also, it's just like whole impression of the book, maybe. And also, I really love to check biography of some people, especially people who make something not really flat, like Kurt Vonnegut or David Lynch. And when you check biography and you can hold a connection to this person, you can understand what they mean. Because in a sense, it's not so shallow in their books or films.
Do you know
what I mean?
Do you mind explaining that? Because I want to understand, but I don't know.
Sometimes
that
you need to keep in your mind biography of person who did this artwork.
It
helps you to understand.
By understanding the person behind the book or the film, you start to understand the film differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you.
It didn't make me want to go on a David Lynch binge.
Me too.
Yeah.
It made me realize
Which
how
I
much...
because I was writing a song. But...
It made me realize how much he's made that I haven't seen for whatever reason. I just haven't made time for it yet. I was busy making a dance.
Yeah, exactly.
I love excuses.
My favorite one was that one that he did with Disney. What was that? The guy on the... Straight Story. That was my favorite one. I love Straight Story. Oh, God, I know. He died right when it won all his awards.
Wow.
That was my favorite.
And now
what
I have
do you think? Does he listen to us right now or not?
Huh?
Does he listen to us right now?
I doubt
do
it.
Do you have any chance?
My dad's pretty busy, but even if he's not listening, he really cares.
He does. He definitely
and
does.
He supports our process.
I'm going to do it. Are you going to do the next book?
Mm-mm.
You're not? Mm-mm. See, I'm going to do what you did with the next book.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You're not excited?
Animation?
I'm going to do like a one-day or two-day thing. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for it in the mail.
Just dedicate.
I'm going to actually, like this piece, I finished something for the book because the book inspired me to finish an old piece and pull out a lot of this book, though, to be honest. The part that this film also makes the most sense to me is at the very end, what I'm all about is he says something that I went through, which is like, you know what? Digital stuff, digital media, all that stuff that people are doing now, it's great.
Yeah.
If you're a filmmaker and if you have ideas and you're creative, it's so much easier than waiting for the film in a lab or having somebody jump for a year and waiting a year to see the footage and like so, see if it comes out or not, you know?
Yeah.
So the immediacy of digital is so amazing. And this film that I did with my kid, like the first, it's like me struggling with all different, some of that's from an iPad, some of it's with a phone, some of it's with my first digital camera. Some of it I just drew on top of an iPad, like at the end.
It seems
and that's what he's saying, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And so on the next book that I'm going to read, I'm going to actually make a piece.
And this is for...
Which will be new for the next book club thing where I'm going to start from the beginning and read it and do like what you guys are doing with songs and do what he did where it's like, okay, like this page, I'll do that.
So that this is a good time to say the next book club is going to be July 12th.
Right.
And where?
At the Basement Bar.
The Basement Bar.
Yeah, in Bushwick.
It's
on Barrett Street.
It's a really fun venue.
Yeah,
and the book, can we announce the book to the general public, is Geek Love.
Yeah.
Do you remember the author?
Catherine Dunn. Yeah.
Which I've read. Oh.
Yeah, right. I believe it was in April or May. And it was funny because we skipped a month for book club and we were going to do Geek Love at that month.
Yeah.
And then I ended up skipping it. And then Don Ralph, you know, messaged me, and he was like, "Catherine Dunn just died." I'm like, "Well, I guess we gotta do this book now," you know. Like,
I'm a little overwhelmed. I think I'm just gonna come be an audience member.
What?
For that.
You could say it's from this. You could say it's from this past book for the next book. Like, who cares?
We're like, it's related.
Well, you guys remember? Who you were there? I brought this 84-year-old woman. She actually wants to go to Brooklyn with a poem and figure out a way to get there for the next book club. She was so inspired by this book club.
I'm really excited by that.
Isn't that funny?
So many people were. And
she got so flipped out, which is great. Like, she might not
have seen
like it.
She's going to produce a new work, you know, for this. Yeah, for the which next is show, which is the most important thing in life, is making the new work.
Yeah, constantly. Yeah. I mean,
so I was shocked.
She's 83. And she's,
that's
she's
so
like,
cool.
Excited to do it.
Yeah, I'll come watch. I don't. call me out on my things. So a couple, well, I guess I'll just go back to the main thought I have, where you, the limited research I did, it seems like your children have inspired your work a lot.
I have one kid.
Oh, you have one child.
He's like a little muse. He's an afterthought. Don't worry if you're young, you don't have a kid. So I did all this stuff, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I'm old, and I got knocked up, and it's a great time to have a kid. And my kid ends up being this, like, beyond, you know, totally inspiring kid. And this one, he's just my puppet in here. But the fact is, like, he didn't know he was writing the soundtrack for that, or all the music that he does that I use for my stuff. I have a television series that I want him to work on where all the music is written and composed and played by my kid by accident. But it's just who he is. It's not me. It's, you know, it's like a, you know.
You're stealing his ideas. Just kidding.
I have the ideas. His just happened to fit. Like, this fit. Like, for this having writing, like, time. jump and jump.
Yeah,
like,
with
this thing was crazy. You know,
how
I didn't.
He?
Now he's actually going to be a teenager.
Right.
So he's not as young as you think. He'll be 13 in 2 weeks.
But,
the whole idea just.
Is your film online somewhere?
The one that I showed?
Yeah.
Yes, I put it online.
Okay,
this.
Perfect.
Did it? Oh, cool.
I'm going to make sure that that's.
On the Vimeo.
Perfect. Sweet. I'm going to make sure that that's linked and that's linked. And we also have film footage of each of the musical numbers. So if you're listening and you're like, I want to be inspired, you can be. I'll share all the links.
Yeah, there's so many. I just got the Bandcamp up. So that it's now we have now have a Bandcamp album of the show, and it includes the video and the audio.
Wow. Yeah. We're so fancy.
By the way, Swan, your piece totally made that room come to life.
Like
you took the room besides your hair. Your coloring matched with the inside of the room. So you're like, okay, well, there's a step here and a step here.
Uh-huh.
And you're sort of taking advantage of the whole space and moving it around was sort of shocking. Oh. It was really great. Like that all of a sudden it was there and you made your whole presence, you know, speak in such a strange space and bring it to life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that? It was just like, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of neat. It's neat like, that like the dance can do that, you know, that just, you know, human physical form, you know, expressing in that space, like, it's so affecting, you know. It's really cool.
Like, it might not have worked the same if we were in a different kind of space, you know.
Yeah, and like, spoiler alert, I did go and see the space because as a dancer, moving around in a space, I was like,
you need to.
There's a degree of improv implicit because I don't have access to the space to practice in, but I need to kind of know what was there.
Yeah.
Because last book club, I kind of got in trouble because I saw the space like 2 days before and was like, oh, nothing I had planned is going to work here. Like, condensed down
that.
my scale. Because I don't know if you noticed, but I really love like big explosive movements. And we made it work and it was really nice, but that was a smaller venue. So
Is the other one going to be big, the one that you're being forced to make something for in the next book?
Yeah.
It's kind of a small stage, but it's a very pretty stage.
But it's a stage.
And I have no issues walking up and down.
Like,
and you can as long as I don't kick anyone.
Oh, I kick them.
That was my biggest fear. Like,
that's part of it. Yeah.
But people on the radio realize that she actually has wood-colored hair. Wood-colored hair. A beautiful color that the whole space was because it was a furniture board. Sorry.
No.
I saw that.
Thank you for pointing that out because I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
I'm a wood elf.
You're a wood nymph. I'm a wood elf.
Okay, but enough about me.
There's never enough about Swan.
I think let's make the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, show's over. Look at the time. So, in general, let's talk about books and writing. So, songwriters, film writers, it seems like for anyone who's creative, writing ends up being a large portion of your creative process. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about how you do that? How you integrate writing and in like creating things?
Big questions.
Well, you mean words. Or writing music.
No, words.
I always, I often start with words for my songs because they come easy.
Yeah.
And so I'll just, start writing down thoughts, phrases. I don't know. It's so connected to how I think, so.
Great.
I'm kind of come at it from the other angle. It's usually emotion and music and words. A lot of times I'll come up with an idea. I'm at a press conference.
Your voice is so clear.
Thank you. But a lot of times I'll come up with a musical idea and then I'll do a spontaneous vocal where I'll sing gibberish. And just words that, just syllables and sounds that feel like they go with the music. And then usually that suggests
the words
certain words, and then I'll be like, oh, that's something I was thinking about. And, usually connects subconsciously to something that was happening.
The Rolling Stones worked like that, too.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that the tape recorder, who was it that had, like, the tape recorder? They started just taping themselves, and that's how they caught. Oh, was it you telling us about this?
No.
Someone else.
I remember that story. I can't remember who it was, but I remember hearing it.
Bono was famous for that, too.
Supposedly. Yeah.
But like I said last week, a lot of times I do that same thing that David Lynch suggested in like collecting firewood. I write down a lot of like phrases and things that I think are interesting images or language. And I have a little pile of phrases and things. And I'll like look at that sometimes while I'm writing. And I'll be like, oh, here's time to use that. Like,
I used to do more journaling.
But there's no words in them. There's stuff like,
oh, pictures.
Like my reaction to the poem.
Ooh, no, it was an like image. Whatever. So you're a visual artist.
I'm a visual artist. But I think I write a lot of lists.
I love lists.
I have a lot of fate trusting. I don't have to wake up in the morning and paint every day, which is one type of artist. I'm somebody where I realize at some point it's going to happen, and it happens, and I go there, and it's a big, important process where I'm working on something or I'm not. And if I'm not, I'm enjoying other stuff. So I don't have the that same type of, I don't know.
That's so
process-wise. And it's really intense when I'm into it. People think I put a lot more time into it than I do. Sometimes it can spread a long time, but in spurts, but
does,
it's got to
it
get done.
Dominate when, so it could when be you like, do have kinda, an idea?
It definitely dominates what I talk about.
Because that's something I was talking with someone just last weekend about how I think I have all these ideas of like, if I'm a writer, I have to write every day for a certain amount of time. And recognizing, like, or I can just write when I feel like writing. And if I don't write for 4 months, that's okay, too. That's scary.
It's good to give yourself that permission because it's good not to write. It's good to be, in my process, it's good to, like, let it be fallow for a while and things, like, sort of percolate in the subconscious.
Well, you'd notice from the famous words of David Lynch, you have to allow yourself space and time to do nothing.
Yeah.
Because even making a painting, you have to just sit there for a while. You have to get stuff ready, like he was saying, if it's picture canvas.
Yeah.
It takes 5 hours.
Yeah.
If you have a shop, you could just sit in your studio for a really long time. That's a big part of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So either you could be having a time where you're spending on your project or having a time when you're living your life.
Yeah.
But, everybody has different ways of doing it.
But that's why Book Club has been an interesting part of my development, because I think I went through a phase of being very certain about how I wanted to write and had a series of subjects I wanted to write about, and then I didn't want those anymore and I didn't know what I wanted to write about for a while, and then Book Club came along right around that time. And like I said, the first Book Club was like writing about the Battle of Gettysburg, and I was like, okay. And so each Book Club is a good challenge just to experience the process, even if you don't know what you want to write about.
And even if you don't like the book.
Yeah, that book was terrible. I was just thinking about that.
But
Jesse hated that book.
But I've played that song
but
for
that
people. I've recorded that song now, and I've played it for people, and I'm like, oh, that's my favorite one.
Yeah, I've had that experience.
That's so funny.
Civil War song.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God.
I wrote an anti-war song.
for that one. I remember. Yeah, that was fun. Oh, yes. I also did a dance, too. I choreographed something for the first time, and that's when I realized, wow, choreography is really hard. I was like, I can do this. I'm like, oh, how do they do this?
I know. And I talk about the degree of improv, and I've had people tell me it didn't look like this, but there was times where I'm like, the music's still playing. I better keep doing something. I'm still okay.
From an outsider's perspective, though, that's kind of what I'm so excited about with the idea of book club, like when I come to see it, is that it's the ability to create art, and specifically with a guide, I guess, with the book being like, all right, here is something, here is a platform, like a deadline. Now leap. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that it provides structure and a deadline, yeah. Which yeah. So many artists need.
We're all this little team that leaps together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's,
we're all in the pool together.
And it makes us, I don't know, it's like we all inspire each other in this way. And then we get to talk about it afterward.
We get to like mess up in front of each other, which is so key.
Yeah. We get to see people in our underwear. That's what I saw.
Yeah, we get to see people in our underwear.
I missed she was underwear. In her underwear.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
And awesome. She looks great.
I love you. Thanks for cueing me.
I have a sock of yours.
Oh, I was missing a sock, which was funny because I've had those socks for months and months.
I have that.
I've never used them.
It's going to sound a lot different than it actually is.
You're going to be reunited with that sock today.
And speaking of underwear, it's not underwear, but maybe we'll be in pajamas for the August show.
We'll do a book on dreams. We've got to find a really nice, sleepy, beautiful, sleepy, either a dream book or a book that's really relaxing.
And Jim said we could
do
it at a counter.
We should go back at the furniture place.
Okay,
that's cool.
Sleep over at counter.
Well, but...
Well, then maybe. We can take Leanie and she can put on her pajamas. Yeah.
Well, and here's one more question for Susan. As curator, for this book, you were...
Is this yours?
Like, help me, give me ideas for what book to choose. And we're all talking to you and all having these different conversations. And then you announced the book and all of us were like, oh, that's not what we were talking about, but great. So, and that was inspired by...
A conversation with Carrie Jordan, who is this amazing photographer and visual art person. And also she does a lot of different kinds of creative things, but we were on a job together. We were doing some like production work for a design company with this event for Kat Von D. I don't know if you know her. I didn't know her at the time. Apparently she's like this big makeup and tattoo person. She's launching a new cosmetic, and we're stripping roses. And we're talking about all kinds of things. And I'm like, I need something for the book club. And they're all talking about different things that they're reading. And Carrie mentioned this book and how she would have the audiobook version, which she enjoyed a lot. And she'd have it sort of like on shuffle in her iPhone. And every once in a while, a little thing from David Lynch would come out. And it would be just the exact thing that she needed to hear that day. It was just, you know, the right, you know, like little thought for, you know, or big thought for her to have that day. And I thought, oh, that sounds really great. And I don't know anything about this. I didn't even know David Lynch had written a book. And it just sounded interesting. And it was a water themed. And I kind of had the idea I wanted the summer to have a water theme. And so, we're catching fish. And I thought, okay, let's do it. It had the little sparky thing for me. So, and also Carrie Jordan's really, influential. I mean, she has a lot of weight, a lot of sway.
Is that often how it happens? You're like exploring all kinds of books and then you have like
me.
A huge pool
whatever
and then
the
one
funnest.
Just
yeah.
like is like, like, oh, but oh, this oh, one.
Yeah.
I think Susan's really great at choosing diverse material too. We've
oh,
done
good.
All
yes,
sorts
it is,
of
it is diverse.
Random things. We did a cookbook one time.
Yeah, I love, that's because I love doing stuff I haven't done before.
Yeah.
So we hadn't done the cookbook before. That was really fun to work off of a cookbook.
What was that? What was the cookbook?
It was Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking.
Those are beautiful.
Yeah. And then you got all into Julia Child's. She's amazing. Yeah. It's fun to like live with that book for a month while you're writing the song.
Were you inspired to cook more?
I already cook a lot, actually. But I was inspired to watch more of her videos.
It made me
remember how much I love her voice and how her voice is so different from voices you hear these days. You know, and she has this has a lot of air in it, and you know, but you know, for some reason, girls these days have released all the air from their voices, and they all talk
from down here now where they have no air, or, and they're like, oh my God, and like, thank you. You know, and like, there's no air in this voice. But Julia had lots of air.
I'm trying to talk without breathing.
I know. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. That was marvelous.
Thanks.
So we're going to end with a piece from you guys, but we like to wrap up our shows with Rapid Fire, which is a series of questions. So we're going to ask a question, and you can shout out an answer.
Wait, so you didn't even mention this amazing outfit she's wearing.
Oh.
Like, she's wearing flower ears, cat ears, and flower necklace, and flower dress, and lace flower, you know, bustier kind of under thing.
I have a passion for clothes, and so this is my one chance where I'm not, like, babysitting or working, like, in my life. So every time I come here, I'm like, I need a new outfit.
I love how you dress up for the radio. That is perfect.
It makes it go better.
That's perfect.
But sometimes we wear pajamas, too, so that's fun.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, go ahead.
Yes, so we have a series of rapid-fire questions. So I believe that it's going to go, I'm going to ask one and Swan's going to ask one, and we'll go with that for a while. What is the best book you have disagreed with?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, but a lot of people...
Bible.
The Bible.
Yeah, good one, Sashka.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Sashka wins.
Sashka wins. That's the correct answer. the Bible. I don't think I can top that.
Anyone are you talking about the book club, or are you talking about
just in general?
I think any book.
Just like any book that you've read. I really like this. I haven't had this experience with a book, but with a movie, which was, and I'm going to mispronounce it, but Schenectady. Yeah, where I watched it and I got very angry, and then I realized I got angry because it like really touched me. So when I saw that, I was like, "Ooh, I wonder if anyone has had that experience."
Oh,
but with
my
book.
God, Blue Velvet. When I first saw Blue Velvet, I actually didn't get why everybody was into it. And then I saw it like 3 years later on video, and I was totally into it.
Yes.
So it was just one of those things where, and then it was like, of course, it's like one of the greatest films, but I couldn't stand it in the same way that I actually am standing off with the Geek Love thing, to be honest. Like, I already knew that I wasn't going to like this concept of the Carney thing. I was like, meh, it was like really hip at the time. So I'm going to dive into that and see why everybody loved it. But that was one of these things where everyone loved Blue Velvet, and I just didn't get it. And saw it, and
maybe that one would count for me, Geek Love, because I enjoyed it, but I also was like, I don't know, it's pretty dark in some spots.
Oh, really? I don't mind the dark thing. It's just the hip thing I didn't like. Like the hip with the dark. I don't know yet. I haven't read it, so let's see.
We'll see. Yeah. Yet to be discovered. If I were to come into your homes, what books would be like lying on the coffee table or like eye level on your bookshelf? What would be showcased?
I have a really nice copy of Young's Red Book.
Yeah, that book is so beautiful. Do you guys know Carl Jung?
No.
I mean,
it's
a
big book of imagery.
He created it when he had a nervous breakdown, and he painted all these beautiful panels of these kind of art purple images, and he did all this calligraphy. It's in German, but I can't read. But it's physically beautiful.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Man and His Symbols. And
the Rubin Museum did an exhibit on it a few years ago.
I don't read unless it's for the book. Honestly.
Just the books that we're reading.
Yeah. But I have read, I'm sort of always in the process of reading Sarah Vowell's Lafayette in the Somewhat United States or something like that.
I think you mentioned that
last one. I keep reading it.
In November of last
year. I'm not done. I'm not rereading it. I'm still reading it.
That's good.
Yeah. I have a crazy one that nobody knows about, that nobody would ever notice. I have Jane Eyre by Currer Bell, who was the living version of Bronte before she could say she was a woman. So, of course, it's in French, and it's in its original form, and I got it for, like, $15. After I went out looking for it, one of those crazy availableism stories, I'm like, I want to get the original Jane Eyre in print before she was Bronte. And so I went and found it, but it's in French. Isn't that crazy?
Do you speak French?
I do, but not like that.
It's different.
But I love Jane Eyre. You know, it's like one of my favorite books.
There's that new book, Jane Steele, that's like a spin-off of Jane Eyre, I believe. Yeah.
Why not spin?
I just started it, so I'm only like a couple chapters in. So I'll let you know if it's read-worthy.
All right. So did a book you read influence your transition into puberty? Once again, because that was a hard one to read. Did a book you read influence your transition into puberty?
So this, I'll add a commentary. I feel like for most people, there's this book they read as a teenager that was like, bing, like something that was dormant woke up. Did you guys have that experience? Like whether intellectually or like physically, you were like, whoa, I feel things, or like I'm thinking things, like I'm no longer a child.
Maybe. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
That was one of the ones for me as well. Yeah. If it makes you, yeah. Lord of the Rings was pretty up there for me. Yeah.
And I grew up with the Harry Potter stuff, so I was always like waiting for the next book to come out and being so excited, reading it, staying up all night to read it. Because, yeah, stories.
Mine's kind of intense.
Ooh, I like intense.
Yeah. Look Homeward Angel by Thomas Wolfe.
Look Homeward Angel.
By Thomas Wolfe.
Mm-hmm. Not the guy in the white suit, the other Thomas Wolfe.
Cool. I haven't heard of that book, but now I'm intrigued. I'll have to check it out.
Because I got really into the poetry of Anne Sexton.
Yeah, nice. So if you hear banging around, we're setting up for a final number. I think we have time for one more question. Is there a book you recall your parents reading to you? First book that comes to mind. Everyone.
Anyone? Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web.
Aww.
Thank you, Jesse. Books that your parents read to you? Anyone?
My parents were too busy.
Yeah, they didn't read to me.
I'm really old to read to me.
That was a long time ago.
The Bible, which is ironic because neither of my parents are religious anymore and have in fact turned away from it tremendously, but we had a comic book Bible when I was a kid.
Oh, wait.
That my parents would read to me from.
Robert Crumb?
Although my dad did not that one, but one of the Crumb books my dad threw at me when I was like 11. He had this habit of just opening the door and throwing things at me.
Oh, I thought you were being bad.
No, he opened the door and just threw a book by Robert Crumb, which might have been actually Genesis, just threw it at me and then closed the door and left.
So your dad was into comics?
Hilarious.
Yeah, I got into that world very young.
Is he a comic book artist?
He was for a period of time, not right now, but he still has some stuff that I might talk to him about
local?
Putting up. I am. Well, my dad isn't. My dad's from California. Is in California.
Like whose dad would have some like Robert Crumb book that they threw him at? That's
everyone has
a story there.
Everyone has their stories.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna end with a song, the song you wrote for David Lynch, and I'll leave you with a word: take it or leave it. Effable.
Do you want to? Yeah. Okay. I guess we're doing my song. Oh. So this song changed from last week, just in kind of how it was performed, especially since Susan. On it. So here we go. The drum will pick up everywhere.
I am nothing. Nothing in the end. There's no trying. There's no trying to pretend. And it's all just the ocean. Fire or the wind and the unbounded motion doesn't end or begin, and it's breaking you open and you're diving within, and your heart isn't frozen.
They say don't worry about the darkness, 'cause the light will return, and the fire takes the likeness of all that it burns. But this drunken boat is lost now, and I'm lashed by the tides, washed away in the darkness. I am nothing. I am nothing. And the fire you will learn takes this shape.